Welcome to What in the Smut podcast,
where the books are horny and so are we. I'm Elle.
And I'm Kay. So what do we got going on in the Smutverse this week?
Content creator misconduct continues. All BookTok could talk about this week was Elise Myers, who went viral on TikTok for her quirky content. She recently published her first book, full of short stories about awkward moments in her life. One person wrote online that she was bummed that she didn't particularly like the book, as she is a big fan of Elise's content. This post, which did not tag Elise, organically showed up in her feed, and Elise commented on it, saying that she completely understood that the book wasn't for everyone, was sorry that the reader didn't like it, and to please feel free to return it. And unfortunately, the internet exploded. We've talked before about the expectation that readers not tag authors in posts critical about their work, which this person did not do. However, we haven't really discussed the unwritten rule that authors not engage with posts that they are not tagged in. This is to encourage readers to be honest about their opinions about books without being swayed by the prospect of like author attention.
Yeah.
But Elise, who is not only a debut author, but also diagnosed autistic and wrote a whole book about her experiences with social cues, did not know this unspoken rule and was then piled on by what seemed like the entire internet. Someone in the comments finally explained it to her, and she replied, "Thank you for letting me know. I thought I was doing the right thing by letting people know it's totally okay not to like my book and that I'm just grateful they gave it a shot, but I will stay out of it completely from here on out. I'll try and filter my content better."
I saw this all blow up, and like, she's come under fire a couple times, I feel like, throughout the years.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. I don't know. Like, people get all excited when somebody will, when an author comments, if they happen upon their positive review of it. Like, oh my God, they saw me. This is great. I can't believe it. They commented on it. I don't understand. She said it all very nicely.
Yes.
And like, as something that probably on her own made her go and cry in a corner, as it would for all of us, she responded in a way that was respectful. I don't know. I think that people are just looking for a reason to fight people constantly.
Yeah, exactly. In other creator news, a BookTok reader and author posted, "We all know that romanticy girlies are not the brightest sparks," which feels way more mean-spirited and far more like taking a baseball bat to a hornet's nest.
This is a BookTok person? I mean,
who has her own content? She is an author.
Oh.
Who's written other books, which are now getting review bombed because she called an entire demographic of readers dumb and then was surprised that they didn't like.
Wow. That's something.
That's a choice.
That's a choice for sure. Especially since right now, romanticy is kind of the main driver in this resurgence.
Yes, correct. All in all, the internet this week mostly made me want to go outside and touch grass, but it is too cold for that, which apparently gets some people very horny. Okay?
So this week, we read Frisky the Snowman by Lauren Beale, and the synopsis says, "In winter's embrace, I revel in the snow, sculpting whimsical snowmen that bring joy to my chilly solitude. But beneath the frosty gaze of winter, an unexpected admirer emerges with an obsession that ignites the season's spice. As Frisky the Snowman takes on a life of his own, a frosty liaison unfolds, turning a wintry fantasy into a sizzling Christmas affair." Frisky the Snowman is a spicy snowmance novelette, and it certainly was.
Yes. My goodness. This synopsis. It's so elegant for
what we got.
For what we got.
I believe that this author tends to write more on the dark side of things because there was a lot in reviews and also like an extended part of the synopsis said that this is a light Lauren Beale. So I think she tends to write kind of darker romance type novels or novellas. And this
makes
was
sense to me given this story.
Where would you put this one on our smut scale?
I'm actually tempted by a level 4. because despite how straightforward a lot of this was, mm-hmm. I think we have a very clear dubious consent arc here.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think that that puts us very firmly at level four.
Yeah, I would agree with that as well.
Which is not something I expected for a light Frosty the Snowman comes to life erotic novel.
I agree. And I question if, do you think that, and we'll get into the trigger warnings in just a second, but voyeurism is one of the trigger warnings on
yeah.
here. Do you think that voyeurism kind of falls into that, Dubcon?
Oh, this is a good question. I don't know that I feel qualified to answer it.
Yeah, me neither. Like, I guess the voyeurism, if you know that that's what you're doing, like if you know that you're putting on a show for someone, if you will.
Like exhibitionism. Yeah.
Yes. But then having somebody, because the exhibitionist is, that's one side of things from one
yeah.
person. But on the other side of it, the person watching that, if their
yeah.
whole thing is voyeurism.
Yes.
Or does voyeurism mean that they don't know they're being watched in the first place?
Did you watch How to Build a Sex Room? You watched it,
I did.
Right? Yes. So there was the poly, like,
yes.
polycule. And one of the members of the polycule was a voyeur. And they built, like, a little room for him to watch everybody else have fun, which I thought was delightful and funny. And so I get the sense that voyeurism does not necessarily have to be that the subjects do not know that they are being watched. I think it's just that you like to watch without participating.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I looked it up.
Oh, okay. And?
So the practice of gaining sexual pleasure from watching others when they're naked or engaging in sexual activity. But it also, there's under that, it says, like, is voyeurism a crime? Which is where, that's where I guess the Dubcon piece of it would come
yes.
into play, because when it involves observing or recording someone without their consent in a place where they have reasonable expectation of privacy, which in this case, he was watching her through the window into
mm-hmm.
her home when she lives in the middle of nowhere. So that's
yes.
her reasonable expectation of privacy, you know?
I agree. Yep.
Interesting.
Like, to be clear, before we get into the story, there's dubious consent sexual activity.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, in addition to this question. But yes, he does watch her without her knowing, which I think does qualify as non-con.
Yeah.
She didn't consent to be watched.
Right. And they hadn't gotten to that point of that being something that they, like, she didn't even know he existed yet. Okay. We'll get into it. But
yes,
our trigger warnings from Lauren Beale's website says light triggers, snowman to lovers, sex with inanimate objects and vegetables, temporary captivity, carrot DP, snowman stalking, murder, obsessive behavior, voyeurism, and squirting. Frisky the Snowman is a dual point of view, dark light snowman's novelette standalone with a happily ever after.
I would also include in the temporary captivity, he does tie her up.
Yeah.
And there's the beginnings of sexual assault with the not the male main character.
Attempted sexual assault.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. So there's a lot here for a snowman's novelette.
It had decent ratings, though.
Mm-hmm.
So 3.7 on Amazon, a 3.4 on Goodreads. A 5-star from Amazon says, adult Olaf? What in the morally gray stalker Olaf did I just read? And why did I love it so much? Lauren Beale has blown my mind once again with this fun short read. Even though it was all smut and no plot, I was hooked and laughing the entire time. I mean, a snow kink? Carrot kink? This book was exactly the type of palate cleanser I needed. I kind of agree. We needed a palate cleanser.
We did. So for our listeners, a little peek behind the curtain. We were slated to read a different book, which was an erotic horror. And it turns out that despite Kay's affinity for dark romance and my affinity for whatever the hell we're reading that week, neither one of us really wanted to talk about that story because it was very, very, very dark. So
yes,
we definitely needed a palate cleanser.
Yeah.
And this one ended up being lighter than that one for sure.
But also I feel like we kind of needed a palate cleanser from like the Halloween and Thanksgiving books that we did. It has been a while since we had kind of like a light, fun, sentient object, just romance on the table. So, But a 3-star from Amazon said, I will never see carrots the same way again.
True.
What can I say? The woman has a frosty fetish with a snowman who eventually turns human. Carrots are used a lot. And there was another guy, but he was taken care of and nothing was heard of from that incident again. Look, this is a fast, spicy read that really doesn't require much. I don't normally read books like this, but I was curious. It wasn't horrible, but it was a bit out there for me. Aw, honey.
That's not a... sentient object enjoyer right there. A 4-star from Goodreads says, Frisking the Snowman. What the fuck did I just read? Why did I love it? And what does that say about me? We all ask ourselves these questions as we read these types of books.
Weekly.
Yeah. Was this all kink and no plot? Hell yes, but that's exactly how I like my novellas. I ate this up and came back to clean up the crumbs. But I do believe I need to set up an appointment with the nearest therapist. LOL. Finally, a 2-star on Goodreads. Back on my sentient smut BS.
Us too.
Us too. Back on our bullshit for
it
sure.
It's been a while. So, as always, if you are interested in reading this one, we do have links to these books in the show notes. If you want to click on that link, it'll take you right to the Kindle version of it. So if you're interested in reading this book and giving Lauren Beale her page reads on Kindle Unlimited, pause here and we will be waiting here for you when you come back to listen. And we've got lots of thoughts this week.
We do. We have so many thoughts. Hurry back. So.
So I did like that the author's note for this started with, this is a spicy Christmas novelette that isn't meant to be taken too seriously. I mean, it's a story about a woman fucking a snowman. Happy holidays.
Yes.
Which I liked.
It definitely set the tone in a positive way. Winter rolled over my cabin like a lion. I mean, I like the description, but like, what does it mean, like a lion?
Came in like a lion, out like a lamb.
What is
that's,
this
That's
phrase?
A thing. You've never heard that phrase before?
No.
Winter comes in like a lion and out like a lamb. Like it starts really heavy, comes in like really strong, and then softens out into spring.
Huh.
It's usually March comes in like a lion and out like a lamb because it's transition from
winter to spring.
From winter to spring.
Interesting. I don't know. I must have heard it. I grew up in Michigan. We definitely have winters that come in like lions, apparently. But yeah, I was confused by this. But we start with some really lovely prose, I think.
Yeah. I actually really like the way that this started. Winter rolled over my cabin in the woods like a lion overnight, and half a day, a foot of snow had fallen, rising above my feet as I stand in the doorway. Cool air whips at my legs beneath my knee-length skirt, but my ankles and feet stay warm within my winter boots. So, like, it's really setting the scene for us as she goes out into her yard in a skirt in the middle of winter.
Yeah, I had this highlighted because I was so confused, because it becomes very obvious that she is going outside with the intent to play in the snow and not like, oh, it snowed as she was on her way home from somewhere and thus was dressed for a different occasion. But it will become very obvious in the next like 3 paragraphs that this is intentional and I should not question why she's playing in the snow in a skirt.
Well, the question is answered very quickly.
Indeed.
She
not
does
only
start.
Is she not wearing pants, she's not wearing underwear either.
Yes. So she starts to create a snowman. She starts rolling a ball of snow, packing it down so that it grows as she continues to make it bigger and bigger. Once the first ball is too large to fit my arms around, I start working on the next. Before she puts that second snowball on top of the first, I stop to straddle the first mound of snow. The hard-packed ice freezes my slit as I rub it along the friction-filled surface. This is where I went, oh, we're getting into it right now.
Yes. Me too. And I think everybody.
She says, most people find building a snowman fun, but I find it erotic. I'm crafting a perfect man with a big, round lower body, a smooth midriff, and a perfectly shaped head, in quotes, on top. In my head, I was like, is she making a penis head
penis
on the
head,
top
yes.
of this snowman? Because, like, no, she's making a snowman head. I don't understand why that needed to be in quotes.
I completely agree. It just gave us unnecessary anxiety because I also thought that she was going to put a penis on top.
Yeah. She creates a face, hole for the mouth in a cute permanent smile, puts eyes in there. I grip one of the carrots and put it in place. This is where we get information that there is more than one carrot in this bag that she has brought outside.
Mm-hmm.
And she puts that where his nose is.
Yes.
And then my gaze drops to the bag once more and I spot, you're going to need to say this for me. You speak French, don't you?
Barely. Pièce de résistance, which is not good French.
The biggest carrot I could find at the store, like scary big. I wrap my hands around it and smile. But he already has a nose, I whisper. Tapping the carrot across my chest. What could he possibly need another one of these for? Exactly what you think. Listeners, exactly what you think.
Oh, boy. But also, like, my eyes drop to the huge, round, sexy ball at the bottom of his body. Why is a ball sexy?
Listen, don't snowman body shame, Elle.
Fine. I'm not kink shaming. I'm just kink asking why.
That's fair. So she says, I dub thee Frisky the Snowman. And then I bunch my skirt around my waist and expose my naked ass to the cold air. Then I step into him and run my warm tongue along his mouth. A gritty mixture of coal and snow brushes over my lips. As I kiss him, I reach down and stroke his carrot. The ungodly large vegetable fills my entire palm. The warm wetness between my legs intensifies as I stroke and kiss him until I'm almost ready to burst. If he were human, I'm sure he would have by now. What?
Okay, no, I'm not the one kink shaming.
No, I'm also trying to... So, like, she put this carrot on the lower ball, right?
Yes.
The lowest one. Okay.
Yes.
So she's created this snowman, which we're going to call it the same height as she is for
sure.
purposes of this. Okay. So she's kissing the coal smile, licking really the coal smile. So she's getting a mouthful of charcoal.
Pleasant.
Mm. And then she's reaching down to that, to the ground, essentially.
Yeah.
Logistically,
he doesn't have legs.
Right. So logistically, this does not make sense to me because
no.
that's quite the distance.
Indeed.
Because she gets on her hands and knees in just a minute.
Yeah. Yep. That's true.
So like she's reaching really, it just, it's not what it would be should it be an actual man.
Indeed.
I'll say that.
So she opens her jacket and lowers her cami, and her breasts fall from the fabric. I rub the edge of his forked stick arm along my pebbling skin. Do you like how my tits feel, Frisky? Do you want me to fuck you? Do you want me to ride your long, hard orange cock?
This is wild. This is like, this is wild even by our standards. And actually, this just came to me. You know, in the movie Superstar with Molly Shannon from SNL.
No.
Oh,
okay.
My goodness. She plays a high school girl. And there's a scene where she's making out with a tree. Hold on. I need to find it so you can see it right now.
I was going to say I can't wait, but I absolutely can wait.
Spank you. You want to be spanked? I want to spank your booty. Spank it, I'll spank it, I'll spank
it. You've never seen this movie before?
No.
It was an SNL skit that they turned into a movie.
That is the exact correct energy. You are so right. I don't know that I needed to see that.
I'm so glad that I could share that with you, though.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Education.
So yes, that's what that made me think of.
I mean, it does not cool down from here.
No.
If you'll pardon the pun. It's been nearly a year since I felt this good. I fuck myself with carrots the other 9 months out of the year, but it's not the same. I've tried. I even filled pillowcases with ice one summer to see if I could replicate the feeling, but nothing comes close to this. So this was confusing to me because we don't really know at the beginning of this story that she lives in the middle of nowhere. We know that she's going from inside to outside, but that's about it. So the rabbit like feeling of freezing when you've been seen that I got when it mentions the security camera.
Yeah.
Really, I don't know. It just like tapped something visceral inside me. I'm not sure. Because it says, in theory, it should be hard to come with both the skin of my clit and my fingers so frozen, but I can almost mentally get off from knowing the security camera is catching everything. And then it says, I'll be able to fuck myself to me fucking Frisky all year long. So yes. It's her security camera.
It's her security camera, and she's kind of making her own little sex tape right now.
Yeah.
This seems to kind of push her over the edge.
Indeed.
And makes her come. I orgasm hard enough to rip off his big carrot cock. That sounds terrifying.
Yeah.
It sinks into the snow between my feet. I kneel and wrap my lips around the carrot, holding it between my teeth, and then place it back in the original location.
I don't think she should get accustomed to holding that particular carrot between her teeth.
Yeah, right? So she cleans off the carrot with her mouth. And then it's dark in the backyard at this point. And she says, I contemplate hiding his cock because it's mine, but I leave it attached. Though I know no one else will see him on this back road, it still excites me to know that if someone drove down this road, they'd see the used carrot sticking out of his lap. My carrot, the one I buried deep in my pussy. And then she goes inside.
Yes. So just a small quibble.
Don't put carrots in your pussy.
At this point, I feel like I don't need to.
Come on. I was reading this and I was like, Elle's going to have so much to say and you're not going to give it to us today. Come on.
Do not put carrots in your pussy. Just okay. Don't. I assume she washed them, but carrots, unlike, we'll say like a cucumber, for example, which has a protective skin that is difficult to like abrade off naturally. Carrots are not like that. So there's always especially with friction and repeated thrusting, there's always the danger that you're going to be left with carrot skin up there. Just don't.
They easily grate.
It
ended up being an even better TED Talk than I was anticipating. I was just expecting the don't do this, but I wasn't anticipating the actual reasoning behind why you shouldn't put carrots specifically up there. Also, carrots grow in the dirt.
Yes. And no matter how much you wash.
Unless you're going to peel the carrot, there is still going to be some kind of dirt on there.
Yeah.
So we get the next chapter is from Frisky the Snowman's point of view.
Indeed.
And this is where we're starting to get the first glimpses of his sentience.
Yes. Also,
yeah.
I had this thought when I was reading it and then I forgot completely about it when we were talking about the trigger warnings. He is sentient and she is fucking him.
Yeah.
This is also dubious consent.
Yeah. I was thinking about this, though, in terms of like, remember when we read Pounded by the Pommel Horse? It was kind of the same situation. And I can't remember what our consensus was on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like this particular chapter, like as we get the beginnings of Frisky's sentience, it says, like she comes back and says, do you want to be inside me, Frisky? It sounds like a question, but I realize it's not, as she rubs her slit against me. She'll fuck me regardless of my wishes. Lucky for me, we both want the same thing. So like this is dubious consent, because like it is clear that she will fuck him regardless of whether or not he wants it, and he can't say no.
Yes.
Like, he does want it, however.
Yes. She still does not know that he is...
No.
Essentially.
She doesn't know, which I think is probably where we landed with the pommel horse also.
Yeah.
Of like, consent is weird with sentient objects. I think like it's easier to call the later scenes dub and non-con in terms of just like they're both in human form and have the ability to use words. But this, I think, falls in a very gray area that could very quickly become traumatic for one member if not discussed.
That's a good point.
I continue to be kind of entranced with the writing. Mm-hmm. It's very, very well written. The sun goes down, sending blinding rays of light against the snow. The night sky glows with stars. A gentle creaking sound interrupts the silent night and footsteps approach. I want to turn my head and glimpse her again because I know she's behind me. Warmth radiates from her body and the familiar scent of cinnamon grows stronger. Like, it's very well written. Looking back, I can tell that this is a dark romance writer too, because like there's a lot of like setting the scene of the darkness of like creating like that anticipation, especially when we get into like the voyeur scenes and when she like kind of realizes that someone might be watching her. Like, I think very well done for what it is.
Yeah. Oh, no, for sure. It definitely is. She's a talented author.
Mm-hmm.
Because we do get that in between the like
fucking yourself with a carrot.
Have you been waiting for me to come out and touch your cock? Like, we get that beautiful scene setting. And then right back to like, oh, yeah, no, this is what we came here for. This is the type of book that we are reading again.
Yes. I'm curious if this author has written other sentient object romances before, because I feel like I got glimpses of Unhinged with this one, but I feel like unlike Unhinged, we don't get a good understanding or explanation for like what Frisky knows and like how he knows it, because like this particular scene, he doesn't know necessarily anything. It's talking about how he's guessing that his cock is right where that warm tingle happened. Like,
yeah,
it feels like when she kissed my cold lips, so I assume she's using her mouth on me. It's just like he seems to just like have a lot of knowledge of how things work, but we're not sure why. The magic is never going to be explained. And so it's hard to know if we're dealing with like a born yesterday kind of trope, because he's certainly not very innocent.
Right.
But it's also unclear. I don't know.
Some pieces that are born yesterday, but then there's other pieces where like he recognizes that there's like male clothing in her closet.
Exactly. Yes.
So those types of things too. No, yeah, I agree. We kind of get almost like he gets her understanding of things as she makes him be more sentient, because it says her arms wrap around me as she lowers herself on me and every part she touches becomes sentient.
Yeah.
And then she says, I forgot to give you a hat, and eases a beanie from her coat pocket and plops it on my head. And then says, see you soon, Frisky.
Well, that's after that she fucks him until his cock pops off.
Right. Again, yes. It keeps popping off.
Indeed. Which is a shame. He says, I want to know what she feels like when she comes.
Because I can no longer feel her wrapped around me when it disengages from my body, which is a shame.
Which doesn't make sense, because later,
basically any of the carrots that she fucks, he says that she can feel. Yeah, I agree. I noticed that too. Plot hole.
I re-listened to our Unhinged episode recently. Yeah. And the amount of times that I say Vera Valentine clearly understood what it would feel like to be a door.
Yeah.
I don't know that Lauren Beale put as much thought into what it would be like to be a snowman. Like, I don't feel like Ms. Beale is embodying the snowman the way that Vera Valentine really knew what it would be like to be a door. And that, I think, just comes with practice. sucks.
That's fair. However, we then get Frisky saying, I must have fallen asleep because I wake up confused as shit. I take a step back and nearly scream because I took a fucking step back.
Mm-hmm.
And he realizes that he is now a man.
Indeed. Why? We'll never know.
Because she fucked him to life.
She put a hat on him.
But it did say everywhere she touched was becoming sentient. And it was like, that was... But also, Frosty the Snowman came to life when the hat was... The magic hat was put on his head. So...
I know. I'm familiar with the lore. Listen, we all know Frosty came to life because there must have been some magic in that old silk hat they found. But we get no such indication here. She just pulled a beanie from her coat pocket.
That's true. But maybe it was, I don't know, maybe he's like a hipster. Hipster snowman.
Okay. So this whole scene, I was like, this is a dark romance writer. And it also made me very uncomfortable.
Yeah, I didn't like this part either.
Yeah. So he realizes that he's a man and he wants to see her. And he whispers Snow Princess, because that's kind of what he's been calling her in his head. And he follows her cinnamon scent to the front door because she lives in the middle of nowhere. The door is unlocked. There's warm air inside. And he is afraid because he thinks he's going to melt. And liquid drops from his forehead, which seems to reinforce this idea that he's going to melt. So he has to act quickly. And he... goes into her bedroom and spots her sleeping form on the bed. He sees a flash of light and realizes that she fell asleep watching the security camera footage of her fucking him as a snowman.
Mm-hmm. She did, yes.
He is upset because he realizes that she was attracted to him as a snowman. What will she think when she sees me like this? I'm no longer white and cold and motionless. My round curves and stick arms have been replaced by skin and warmth. She won't want this.
Which is quite the existential crisis that he's finding himself in.
Yeah, true. That's all a lot. I mean, it's an interesting... Also an interesting jump to just assume.
But I also feel like we don't typically get the vulnerability and the she's not going to want me panic from a male character in a romance novel.
True.
Which is interesting.
True. You make an excellent point.
So we don't see it frequently, which was an interesting change of pace.
Yeah.
In terms of the
refreshing.
Dynamic.
What but, I did not like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Me neither. Go ahead.
I mean, there was a lot of this I did not like. Let's start with he glances down at his cock. It's still very large, orange, and thick all the way to the tip. I grip it and tug. Unlike before, it doesn't pop off.
That's good.
This is a slight improvement, but is it enough? No. The worst part of this, please. Okay.
The orange cock was the worst part for me.
Okay. All right. Not the part where he... lays down next to her and comes in her bed and then runs away.
That. No, that wasn't good either. I forgot that that happened. So he deletes the clips of himself on her phone running into the house as a human.
Yeah.
And then he turns the cameras off.
Yep.
Which is interesting, but I guess it makes sense because he doesn't want her to see him leave as well as a human.
Yes.
But I'm still bothered by the fact that, like, he went into her room watching her sleep naked.
Yes.
That, again, that dark romance writer
way,
I don't know, really creeped me out. And then I lie beside her in the bed and wrap my hand around my cock. I imagine her fucking me. I imagine me fucking her. The warm tingle grows and spreads and cum shoots from my cock and lands beside her on the bed. A heady peppermint aroma overpowers her cinnamon scent. She's sure to wake up now.
Did you like that his cum was peppermint flavored?
No, I didn't. And here's why. Here's why. Peppermint should go there even less than a carrot should. That's going to burn.
I completely agree.
Peppermint oil does not belong anywhere near your vagina. So, no, absolutely not. For that reason only is that it's going to burn. If it was like hot chocolate aroma, bring it on. Absolutely love that. No, the peppermint, I'm like, that's not going to be good later on. No way. Does it taste good? Sure. Is that part great? Fine. But no, absolutely not. Mm-mm.
I'm so glad I didn't have to give that.
Nope.
So yeah, she wakes up. He runs back outside and apparently returns to his snowy form
by taking his hat off. Well, he felt like he was melting. He was too hot, so he took his hat off, and then he transforms back into the snowman.
Indeed. And she wakes up with wetness in her bed that smells like peppermint candy.
And she has no idea where it came from.
Hate it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I mean, we know how much I hate feeling sticky, but God, can you imagine waking up with a mystery wet spot in your fucking bed?
That smells like
candy.
Candy. Like peppermint. When you live alone.
When you live alone. This is the thing that keeps bothering me because, like, this is a horror movie to me.
Well, yeah. A naked man coming and watching you sleep and then coming while you sleep.
Yeah, absolutely not. Especially with your reasonable expectation of privacy.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Absolutely.
I hate it.
It says, I had a shit day at work and cleaning my sheets was the last thing I wanted to do. So like, did she not throw her sheets in the wash this morning? Is this the afternoon?
Well, it says I sigh and transfer my sheets from the washer to the dryer. So maybe she threw them in the washer before she left and now she's putting them in the dryer, which like is probably longer. I don't know how long her shift is or what her day job is, but I have ADD and I walk away from the washing machine. And sometimes I have to rewash
it.
The clothes in the washing machine.
Frequently, I have to, my clothes go through a double cycle, sometimes a triple cycle for the same reason. Yes, I agree. But if a shift at work, I feel like, is not long enough for it to be an issue where she's going to have to wash them again.
I suspect not, but you never know. Like overnight, I'm sometimes like, ooh.
And also, though, depends on how warm it is in her house.
True.
Because if it's cold wherever she's doing the laundry, then any kind of like mildewy, musty smell is not going to, it'll take longer.
This is true.
So she goes to the window and stares at Frisky. He could relieve my tension, but I prefer to wait until night for our activities. Something dark moves in the breeze and I realize his hat has blown onto his stick hand. The stick hands keep getting me here.
I know.
Like, especially when she was rubbing her nipples up against them. Like, I don't particularly want to rub sticks on my nipples, but to each his own. So she decides that because she notices that she needs to go outside immediately and place the hat back on his head. And she says, wouldn't want you to catch a cold.
Yeah. So she comes back inside and goes to the fridge and pulls a carrot from the drawer. After washing it, I lower my pants and prop myself on the kitchen island.
That's good, I guess.
Yep. The bare minimum. So it says it isn't as thick as Frisky's carrot cock, but it will get the job done. If anyone happens by the kitchen windows in front of and behind me, they'll get a real show. But I don't care. There are perks to living in the middle of nowhere, such as the ability to fuck myself in a big room full of windows. The risk only adds to my excitement. Now, later, when she realizes that she has been watched, she's not going to feel this.
No. And she does say later, like, I realize I'm a big fat liar because that is not the case at all. In fact, I really do care quite a bit that somebody was watching me.
Yes.
Because there's a difference between the exhibitionist piece of things, which she kind of is okay with.
Yeah.
Like, she liked being recorded. She liked, like, when it was something that was on her terms, she's okay with it. But if it was in the case of somebody watching her without her knowledge, that is when it's not the risk of somebody happening by, but the actual action of somebody watching her in a way that feels a little nefarious.
Yeah. So I'm curious. on your thoughts of masturbating in the kitchen. I yank out the carrot just in time to gush all over the kitchen floor. Thank God for linoleum. Easy to clean up.
I mean, no, for a couple reasons. One, like, she's standing up.
I know.
So could she be still getting all the right angles? Sure. But it's difficult for you to maintain upright positioning.
Yeah. And like that, we've discussed before that I am a pillow princess in every sense of the word. I like a cozy environment.
Yeah.
That being said, I've not found in my experience just a dildo. Like, I need a vibrator.
Yeah, for sure. And it doesn't say anything about her.
Like, I don't think she's even touching her clit.
And I mean, again, some people can come from just penetration alone. A
magical unicorn.
Great for them.
Yeah, no kidding. Just couldn't be me.
But me either. But also to not just come, but to squirt from penetration by a carrot alone. And it wasn't even the biggest carrot that she had purchased, because that one's outside on Frisky.
Yes.
So, I mean, also though, gushing all over the kitchen floor. She...
Go on.
Likely has not peed since she got home from work, if that's what's happening. If it's that much, like, your bladder was full. So there's that.
Moving right along. So this is like heroin in a horror movie behavior, because it says the wind has picked up outside, sending an eerie whistle through the eaves. Something clatters across my porch, startling me. I find my pants, put them on, and head outside. Like, I grew up in the middle of the woods.
Yeah.
I would not go outside to investigate.
No, you check your cameras that you have first.
Which, and then you would learn that they're not on.
Right.
Which would be the first indication that something is wrong. But no, she goes outside and she sees that some of my heavy clay decor has fallen over. Terracotta remains litter the porch boards, but I'll have to sweep them up later. I have plans tonight. As I turn to go inside, something catches my eye. Rather, the absence of something catches my eye. Frisky no longer stands on my front lawn.
But I
this would be horrifying.
Didn't realize that it was on the front lawn to begin with.
Okay. This a plot hole.
I thought it was in the backyard.
It was. She like talks about like surveying her backyard. But when we get Frisky's perspective, he's staring straight forward at the mailbox.
Okay.
Which would not be in the backyard.
No, that's true. Also, though, so this is the kitchen that she was looking out the window. This is something that perplexes me, because I have seen typically in any kind of like Desperate Housewives or any of those kinds of shows, they're doing something at the sink, looking out the kitchen window and seeing something in one of the neighbor's houses.
Sure. Yeah.
In any of the houses that I have lived in my life, not one single time has the kitchen been in the front of the house where you look out the window into the front yard.
No.
The majority of homes, I feel like the kitchen is not in the front of the house.
Yeah.
But in any kind of movie or TV show or whatever, they're looking out the kitchen window to see whatever drama is going to happen.
True.
It's almost like a life plot hole to all of literature and TV and film. Is that like, it's not, that seems to be the exception, not the rule.
Oh, this is fascinating. Now
and it's
going
to have you
notice.
Thinking about everybody's houses and where their kitchens are. It's crazy.
I'm going to think about windows and kitchens now forever.
I know.
So bringing it back, she has discovered that Frisky is no longer standing on her front lawn. It says, I expect to see some sign of him, clumps of snow, his hat and eyes, but he's just gone. Footprints mark the snow, but they're too large to be mine. The hair on the back of my neck stands on end as I follow their path. Someone was outside my cabin. And like, she gotta follow the footsteps, but she has a moment of rationality here.
Where she grabs a shovel.
Yeah. What if this person is back there waiting for me? I need some kind of weapon. So she grabs a shovel and then rounds the back of the house. Floodlights cast a long shadow across the snow, stretching just far enough that I can see it without peering past the corner of the building. This helps me determine exactly where this person stands, which is right in front of my kitchen window. Wait, the back of the house.
Yes, but she noticed while she was in the kitchen that Frisky was missing from the front of the house.
She's drawn to the front door because something clattered across her porch. So she goes to the front porch. As she turns to go inside from the front porch, something catches her eye. Frisky no longer stands in my front lawn.
So, okay, maybe then...
Yeah, it does say she goes to the window to stare at Frisky, but it's not clear that she's...
in the kitchen at that moment.
In the kitchen at that moment.
Okay. Okay.
So her kitchen is in the back. I'm glad we figured this out.
Me too.
So, yes, it says Frisky stands in front of the kitchen window, his branch hand down by his carrot cock. He looks as if he's masturbating, but that's not possible. He's a fucking snowman, which means someone knows what I've been doing with him and moved him over to the window as a joke. Questions spring into my mind. How did they move him so quickly? How did they move him at all? He must weigh at least 200 pounds. I packed him well for reasons.
So she says there's no way I can move him. The ice has frozen his sections together. So I guess I have a masturbating snowman as a backyard decoration now and a creepy stalker.
Mm-hmm.
So a shiver runs through me and I nearly scream when something bumps against my boot. It's the hat.
Yes.
That has blown off again.
Yeah. This also leads her to check the cameras because obviously the snowman moved and she has no idea how. And she discovers that nothing has been recorded in the last 24 hours, meaning the stalker found a way to hack into my system.
That would freak me out, though.
Yeah, that's daytime. Very scary. It's worse. It's so much worse because he was in her house and did it from her phone. It's not like he did it remotely.
Right.
It says, with one last look into the woods, I hurry back into my house. I have a date tonight. And while I don't feel flirty right now, maybe getting out for a bit is exactly what I need.
Now,
this is terrifying.
Why? That she's got a date?
Social interaction. Scary. No, I mean, like... she thinks she has a stalker. Someone moved the snowman while she was home. There is a stranger on her property.
Yeah.
And she's just like, well, I guess I'm going to go on a date.
But also, she had a rough day. She decided to relieve her tension before her date. Smart woman.
Indeed.
So she's not going to... She's
go to
not
the grocery
go
store.
On this date. Exactly. You're not going to the grocery store hungry. So smart woman where she's not going to make a stupid decision because of her hormones or her libido being too high.
She still makes stupid decisions.
She still does make stupid decisions, but it's smart choice.
Indeed. Yes. So now we're in Frisky's perspective.
So he is thinking that when she put the hat back on his head, he wanted to show himself to her, but he didn't want to freak her out. He doesn't want to show himself and then lose her forever. And then he says, I can't exist without her, which kind of is true because she's the reason for his sentient life or whatnot,
yeah.
But also kind of gave me the ick.
Yeah, I like a man with...
a life.
Independence.
Yeah.
Yeah. It also says that he's gained some control of the transformations. When he's wearing the hat, he can become human at will. But when it comes off, he turns back into a snowman. It says she occupies every thought, fills every conscious moment I've ever known. I have to see her. I need to get inside her house. I hate it.
Yeah, it is that like the stalker.
Yeah, obsessive.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
She's not home.
No,
her
she's
car
not.
Is not in the driveway.
Huh?
So he decides to sit on the couch and when he can smell her in the area, he whips it out.
Yep. And he thinks about her fucking him and starts to masturbate. And then he immediately comes, which he is embarrassed by.
Well, but he was kind of edging himself before because like the wind got his hat off. So like
true.
He was already kind of primed for it.
That's true. That's true. So bad decisions are on display here because tires roll over the packed snow and panic seizes my lungs. I rush to the window and spot my snow princess turning into the driveway with a man in the passenger seat. I don't have time to clean up the mess I made on her couch, so I book it out the window and face the house once more. So he turns back into a snowman and is staring into the kitchen window as she enters the house with her date. And she says, "Chad, do you want a drink?" He nods and she stumbles toward the fridge. She's been drinking already, it seems. Girl, you should not be driving your car if you are stumbling drunk.
Also, why is this man in the passenger seat of your car coming to your house? Did he drive there and pick you up? Did you have to go and pick this man up for this date? Because the red flags are red flagging.
Yes. And after one date, why did you bring him to your home?
Yeah. So she is getting him a drink. She opens the fridge and her gaze lingers on the vegetable drawer. And then the man steps into her, rubbing himself against her. She laughs as she rights herself and turns to hand him a beer. When he kisses her, white-hot jealousy burns in my frozen belly. With a playful smile, she tries to ease away from the man, but he won't give up. He tries again, his hands wandering further. No, she says, more firmly this time. So he shifts and Frisky shifts into his human form and runs to the door, goes inside. She's saying no over and over. He's tearing her clothes off. And then Frisky rushes toward them, wrapping an arm around Chad's throat, and then says, "What a stupid fucking name." Which
is funny.
It's funny, but also I feel like I know the joke of the Chads being like the Chads and Brads and whatnot, but the only Chad that I actually know is like a decent guy. So I have a hard time with this one, although I do understand the joke of it all. So there's that. So she starts screaming and backing away.
Yeah.
And he drags him outside, kicking and screaming, tightening his grip as they reach the doorway.
Yep. He drags him toward the woods. He says, "When a woman says no, you listen." And he drags him toward the woods, which, like, toucher and die vibes are always delightful. I did not realize that we were going to get literally touch her and die because
actual murder.
It takes so little out of me to squeeze just a bit harder, cutting off his airway completely. Something in his throat crunches and red liquid bubbles from his mouth. Once I'm sure he's dead, I drop him in the snow.
Yeah, you can tell that she does the dark romance because of this scene that really cemented it. And it almost is like she needs to give her fan base what they typically come for.
Yeah.
So, okay, that's fine. But then we get his flaccid cock falls from his unzipped jeans and a sudden insecurity overwhelms me. It looks nothing like what I have between my legs.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Again, we get this like insecurity, which everyone has that at some point as you're like growing up. But like he's supposed to already be an adult, but I guess he's never seen. I don't know. It was weird.
It is weird. He worries that his snow princess will not want what he has to offer her because his cock does not look like the man he just murdered.
It does say the same peachy tone as his skin covers the stubby length, and it's not nearly as thick or long as mine.
And it's certainly not orange. So he's like, "I have to check on my snow princess." And this is where we discover that he knows what men's clothing is. He bursts through the front door and it says, "I don't want to greet her while I'm still naked, so I return to the closet in the hall. When I was searching for her earlier, I saw some men's clothing there. There isn't much to choose from, but I squeeze into a flannel shirt and some jeans, then walk toward her bedroom." Why is there a man's pair of jeans in the front closet?
Yeah.
That's not where that lives.
Yeah.
If you have random men's clothing, like it's in the bottom of a drawer in a bedroom or it's in the basement somewhere, it is not in your front hall closet.
Flannel shirt and some jeans. Maybe it's like what she uses to make a scarecrow.
Okay. All right. I'll allow it.
So she screams. She says she's going to call the police. And he pins her to the bed.
Yeah.
He grabs her phone and smashes it against the wall and pins her to the bed.
Yeah.
And then says, I don't want to hurt you. And she says, then let me go. And he says, I can't. You don't understand. So instead of explaining it to her, he rips off her stockings and ties her to the bed. This is wild.
This like undid all of the good toucher and die vibes.
Yeah.
Because like, literally, she was sexually assaulted. He was tearing her clothes off of her, like yes, physically ripping her clothing. She is afraid. Mm-hmm. And he says, she won't believe me if I try to explain. I need time to think. So I rip down her stockings as fear blitzes her face. Like, so he's just doing the exact same thing
yeah
to her that Chad just did.
After coming into the house, so immediately she's violently, like, well, here's my stalker.
Yes.
She's like, stop calling me Snow Princess. And he's like, well, you haven't told me your name. So she whispers her name and then he says, I like Snow Princess better. Okay.
Damn. Like,
so then
fuck.
He realizes that it's really hot in there. So before answering any more questions, he leaves her tied to the bed and goes to find the thermostat to turn the.
Why does he know what a thermostat is?
Yes, I agree.
But he dials it as low as it can go, which is only to 50.
Which is good because we don't want the pipes to freeze.
Correct.
So then we get back in Holly's perspective and she says, what the fuck is happening? A man getting too forceful isn't an uncommon thing, which is an unfortunate reality, but also like, eesh. Men like Chad are a dime a dozen and it serves me right for going out with a man named fucking Chad. But getting rescued by a naked mystery man doesn't exactly happen on a daily basis. Did you get rescued? It is in quotes. Did you get rescued? Because you're restrained to the bed right now.
And she well, said, that's what she says.
Can I really consider myself rescued when I'm tied to the bed?
Yeah, this is upsetting. I don't know.
So I peer at the bulging area in the crotch of his jeans and wish I could have caught a glimpse of that. But he'd been behind Chad when he was naked. So like, how
she's
do we
already
immediately go from... I'm terrified.
This is the dark romance of it all.
That's true.
Like, we talked about this with Jace of like, okay, home invader, but he's hot. So.
Yeah.
Also, she spares no thought to what happened to Chad.
No. Nope.
She drove him here. Like, it's not like she could just like think in her head like, ah, mystery man
he
scared
off,
him off,
whatever.
And he took off, yeah, and he drove away.
There's no mention
a dead
of
body.
Him. Yeah, there's no mention of him at all. I mean, it's probably different for women going on a date than it is for a man going on a date. Like, if a man lives by himself and is going on a first date, he's probably not texting his friends, hey, I'm going on a date with this person. Meanwhile,
at this time,
women are texting a screenshot of the picture that they found of this person.
Yep.
They're sharing their location with people.
Yep.
They're letting them know this is his name. This is where we're going.
Yep.
So that when he doesn't turn up in 2 weeks, the last known person he was with was
me.
So she starts thinking that this must be the guy that has been watching me.
Yeah, because she asks him why he calls her Snow Princess. He says, because you love the snow, princess.
I don't like princess as a term of endearment from a sexual partner.
I don't mind it.
I feel like we never agree on stuff like that. And it makes it so much better. because I love the good girl. You
hate
it.
The girl.
I don't like princess and you think that that's fine. So I neither of us make any sense ever. So he admits that he has been watching her. She asks, what do you want with me? Are you going to hurt me? And he says, I would never hurt you. You're my snow princess, my reason for breathing. My only desire is to please you.
Please me? What the fuck kind of abduction is this? I mean, if he wants to give me an endless barrage of orgasms, he doesn't need to tie me up to accomplish his goal. I know that I excused this as dark romance, but also we got on board real fast.
Yeah. He says, my pleasure is directly linked to yours. If it makes you feel good, I feel good. And she says, show me. If he wants to please me, go nuts, dude.
If he wants to give me mind-bending orgasms, who am I to stop him? Not that I could, even if I wanted to. He could overpower me with the muscles in his pointer finger.
He then does rip her dress. She's not wearing a bra, so his eyes travel straight to my bare breasts. A low growl rumbles from his chest. He tells her she's perfect, and then he leaves the room.
Yes.
And then she's like, is this all some kind of sick game? Is he going to murder me now? Or is he just going to leave me here to be found like this? And then we get, I'm 3 seconds away from dislocating my thumbs when he enters the room again. Instead of a weapon, he holds a tightly packed ball of snow in his massive hand. I mean, I love a man that's going to watch and take in information and then utilize that information to do something for you. That's fantastic.
Indeed. Leaning into the
kink. A man that's going to watch and listen and then use that to create action. Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And she thinks that too. Rubbing snow against my bare body is one thing, but to have somebody embrace my kink and do it for me is something else entirely. Absolutely.
Yeah, agreed. What I did not like was that he sits up and works the snow between his hands until it shifts from a ball to a cylinder. And then he fucks her with the snow cylinder. Don't. Just don't. We already talked a couple weeks ago about putting ice up there.
Yep.
Don't do that. Mm-mm. Water does not belong inside.
Water does not belong inside you, and the skin is too delicate for you to put that
rough texture.
Yeah.
No,
yes,
that's bad.
Because if you look
you're gonna rip yourself up.
If you look at a snowflake under a microscope, it has all of those jagged edges, and they might seem little, but when you have millions and millions of them together, it is not smooth.
Did you know that that's why a yeast infection burns?
Because the bacteria
is like crystalline in structure. Yeah.
Interesting. I did not know that.
Isn't that fascinating?
Very fascinating. Where did you get that fact from?
When I got my first yeast infection, I went to Planned Parenthood and the gynecologist like took a sample and just put it under the microscope right there to check if it was a yeast infection and was like, yeah, do you want to see? And I was like, yes.
That's wild.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
Anyway, there's your fun fact for the day.
Look at that. Learn something new every day, every week.
Yep. So he fucks her with this snow cylinder. And then it says, my body quivers and an explosion of melted snow erupts from me as I come.
Yuck. But also in this case, he is fucking her with the snow and using his tongue.
Yes.
And she's laying down. The steps are much more in line with the concept of squirting on top of the fact that the snow is melting inside of her. All of that lines up a lot more clearly than being in the kitchen standing up, fucking yourself with a carrot.
Yeah. Yep. He doesn't stop, though. Once the heat of my pussy melts the rest of the snow, his fingers replace it and piston through the soaked mess between my legs.
No, I don't like it. That's not. I know. You don't piston with your fingers.
No.
Says he moans and the deep sound vibrates against my clit. It's as if he can feel the same pleasure he's giving me, which is what he told her he could. And that was so.
Although we never, like, I don't think that there's like any magic there. I think it's metaphorical.
Yeah. No, but he talks about the, like, the carrots and how he can feel her warmth.
He can feel her warmth on carrots, but that has nothing to do with her pleasure.
Right. Well, yeah, I guess. But I mean, he can feel it because she's pleasuring herself with it.
Maybe.
It's a stretch, but.
Anyway.
So she tells him to fuck her, and he says, I can't. And she says, it sure feels like you can. As his rock-hard erection presses through his jeans against my pelvis. So then he unties her.
Yeah.
And we get back in his perspective. He gets a carrot out of the fridge and she likes that. And then she says, before you can fuck me with that, you need to tell me your name. And he says, you can call me F.
None of this makes sense.
Nope. And I want you to fuck yourself with this, just like I watched you do in this kitchen. So she does. But this is where we get, just like outside the window, I can feel what that fucking vegetable feels.
Which we didn't, I don't feel like we were told that before.
Yeah.
But I digress. So he unbuttons his jeans and keeps his cock hidden from her as she's fucking herself with the carrot. And he is eating her out while she does that.
Which seems like a lot going on down there at one time.
I just don't think that I would be capable of keeping up a rhythm of fucking myself with a phallic object while someone was eating me out. For it to, like, do, like, add anything.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Not to mention, like, his chin and neck are going to be in the way.
True.
Or even if it was, like, the other way around, then his forehead would be in the way. It should be punching him in the forehead. Like, it just, the logistics of it seem difficult.
And so she's sitting on the island countertop.
Yeah.
Fucking herself. Yeah. No, this doesn't work.
So she wants him to fuck her in, and he says, I can't. And she's like, why? He said, mm-hmm. You would never believe me. And the reason he can't is, I'm in love with you. You're everything to me because you made me. And she says, what?
Yeah.
Same. What?
Yeah. What?
And then he says, I'm the snowman, and tells her to go look outside.
Yep. And she does, and sees that the snowman is nowhere to be found. And she says, you moved him. And he says, don't you recognize the hat? And she looks and says, you probably took it off him. So not only are you a stalker, you're a thief. Listen, I don't care who you are or why you're here, but you can't do everything you did to me and not have sex with me. Tease.
Which is like...
Everything about this is so problematic.
Yeah. Like, she's coercing him into having sex with her.
Yeah. So he removes the hat and turns into a snowman.
Within several blinks, I become the snowman again. Her perfect tits sit in front of my eyes, but I wish I could have seen her expression when I changed. She steps back and I can see the snarky smile on her face. Holy shit, she breathes. And she says, at least I can see your cock now.
Uh-huh.
Whoa. She nibbles her lower lip and drops to her knees in front of me. Warmth and pleasure engulf me, but I want to see it because he's still a snowman and his face is just staring straight out.
He transforms back into a human in front of her, and his large carrot cock still rests in her hand. And so she is surprised and throws herself backwards. She's like, Jesus fucking Christ, what is that?
Which
and
is
he whispers,
poor thing.
I know.
Like, his biggest fear is that she's not going to like it. And then that's how she responds to it.
Yep. She's like, I know it's a fucking carrot. Why is it still attached to your human form? And he, like, covers himself up.
And says, this is why I didn't want to show you. She goes, you misunderstand. This is nothing to be embarrassed about. You think I care you have a carrot for a cock? I fuck vegetables more than I fuck real dicks. And then she says, you have my fucking dream dick attached to you. It's like I created my perfect man. Strong, sexy, chiseled, but with a carrot cock.
Yep.
I'm not on board for this.
No.
But nope. That seems to be enough for him. And then
he finally gets to fuck her and then comes immediately.
Yep. And she says, Jesus Christ, Frisky, is that peppermint? That's what was on my sheet that morning, you dirty fucking snowman.
Uh-huh.
And then she licks him and says, yep, it's peppermint. You never have to worry about me spitting. She should worry. She should worry. Peppermint oil is going to burn.
And it's so funny to me because usually you are all about flavor cum.
Yes.
Even if it's birthday cake or
that's
cotton
fine.
Candy or
peppermint oil is going to burn.
Gravy.
Any of those things are preferable. I'm just saying, any of those
are
preferable.
We finally found a flavor that Kay will not appreciate.
Nope. Mm-mm. And I mean, for the taste of it, sure, that's great. And then also, I mean, think about it, like, you're never going to have to worry about morning breath. Just go down on him first, and then you've got minty fresh breath. But...
oh, my God. True.
So they're done. That's great. It's cold. The thermostat's at 50 degrees, but his body's letting off so much warmth.
I don't understand the physics of this because, like, if he's melting himself because he's so warm, like, I don't, it's just, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Right. Even with it down to 50 degrees, if he was made of snow, he should be colder than that. So he shouldn't be giving off the warmth. She should be giving off warmth and kind of melting him.
Correct.
But he shouldn't be warm.
No. So they are laying in bed. He goes and gets another carrot. This is where we get the double penetration with two carrots.
Yeah.
There's ever so slight preparation for this. He runs the carrot through her wet slit before sticking the thin tip against her ass.
There needs to be lube and prep. I just...
Yeah, I know.
I don't like
this.
I'm with
you. I'm with you.
And he says, do you like having two carrot cocks inside you? I don't love the alliteration.
I don't either.
So she says, put me on my back.
Uh-huh.
Without removing anything from my body, he lifts me and turns me over. That is skill.
Yeah.
She did like a sit and spin on him.
Yep.
That is some skill.
I respect the talent. Couldn't be me.
So we still have the double penetration with the two carrots. He takes a nipple into his mouth, hand between them. He's really like going for the gold here.
Yes.
She says, give me your cum. Please fill me, Frisky.
With peppermint cum.
Yeah. Warmth jets inside me. Ew. Pulsing with each beat of his heart, and it just keeps coming. I feel myself filling, then the warmth drips down my ass when I can't hold anymore. As he pulls out of me, peppermint-scented air rushes toward me, and she says, let me taste it. So he leans down, laps up some of the cum, spreads my lips with one hand, and spits the cum onto my tongue. He baby birded her with peppermint cum.
I did not need that visual. Oh, God.
But that's what happened.
That is what happened. I'm not arguing with your assessment of the situation, just the words you used to describe it. So she wants to take a shower with him.
Because, you know, hot water and a snowman sounds like a real good combination.
Yeah. So then he turns the water colder, which is like absolutely the worst case scenario for both of them, I think.
Yep.
And then he brings the shower head to... between her legs and warms it up and then makes her come for him again and then stands out of the water while he washes her hair, which is very intimate and delightful. But he, as soon as they get out of the shower, he goes out onto the front porch because he's too hot. And she's like, well, what about the hat? Like, maybe the hat is making you warm. And he's like, no, if I take it off, I'll be a snowman again. Then he takes the hat off to test it. And then is just a human.
Yeah. So I guess, but at the beginning, it did say that like everywhere she touched him, he became more sentient.
And he did say, I'm afraid if I fuck you, it'll change everything. So maybe having sex with her made him not turn into a snowman anymore.
Yeah.
But if that was the case, then he shouldn't have felt like he was melting after having sex with her.
But we also get when he takes the hat off.
Yeah.
He says, I grip the hat and clench my eyes as I lift the cap from my head. I wait and wait, but I don't turn into a snowman. In fact, my bare feet start to feel cold, which is a terrible feeling. I run toward Holly and pick her up. I'm cold, I shout before I kiss her. And I'm human.
Yes.
So then we do get an epilogue, and it is your favorite time frame 1 year later.
Uh-huh. At least she's not pregnant.
That's true.
This was also very interesting to me because they are standing in the yard, and it says, his erection presses against my lower back, and I can't help but wonder if he remembers our time in the snow last year. It was only a year ago.
Maybe they never talked about the fact that, like, he could tell what she was doing at first. Maybe. I don't know. He's had to learn things that I was happy to teach him, and there were so many new experiences for both of us. I even gave him a new name, Dominic, which is weird. Why?
Why? It says it was too awkward to call him Frisky in public. Fine, but like,
Frank?
Why Dominic? Yeah.
Frisky Frank.
Felix.
Freddy.
Freddy.
Francisco.
An F name would have made more sense.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't like Dominic.
So this is where they go outside.
Uh-huh.
And then he says, shall we try? As he swirls his old beanie around on his extended finger. And she says, sure, but no matter what, I love you for you. And as he slips the hat onto his head, he closes his eyes and wiggles his feet. I close mine to blink, and when I open them again, a snowman stands before me, complete with his monster carrot cock.
Indeed.
She lowers her sweatpants and backs up to his cold body. As the icy carrot presses against my warmth, I smile. Merry Christmas, Frisky. And that's how we end.
That is how we end. What would you rate this one, Kay?
I think that this one is, I'm going to go with a 3.5.
Okay.
For this one. It had the lightness that I was looking for, even with all of the dark elements. It was a nice change of pace. I like to be back on my sentient object bullshit as well.
Mood.
So yeah, 3.5 for me. What about you?
I'm going with 3.
Okay.
I think the writing was really good. It ticks the boxes. I think we didn't need as much plot as we got, because all of the plot is where I had problems. What happened to the man's body in the snow?
Yeah. Well, and there were a lot of reviews that asked about Chad.
Like, we just straight up murdered a man and never talked about it again.
Yeah. And she was the last known person to be with him. She doesn't seem at all concerned about that.
No. Regardless, plot holes aside, I'm going with 3 stars.
Excellent.
Tell me, Kay, who did you cast?
So, Holly, I chose Alicia Cuthbert.
Oh, yeah. Because we did get a mention that she had blonde hair.
Yes. So, she had blonde hair, and that was really all we got for her description. But Alicia Cuthbert is in, was it The Girl Next Door? Is that the name of the movie? It's an old one. And then
more recently,
she was in the TV show on Netflix, The Ranch. Again, more recently was still probably 8-9 years ago. But so Alicia Cuthbert was my choice for Holly. And then for Frisky, I went with Jesse Metcalf.
Hell yeah.
Who was the gardener in Desperate Housewives, which is this is the second time that that's come up in this episode. He was also John Tucker Must Die. So yeah, Jesse Metcalf.
I like these picks. And I feel like Jesse Metcalf has, like, I don't know, there's something about that, like, cute little round nose that feels snowman-esque.
He does kind of have a round nose, huh?
Yeah.
He has really pretty eyes, though.
He does.
So what are we reading next week?
Next week, we are going to continue our December theme, and we will be reading Elfed by Ginger Kane. I know nothing about it. Can't wait. Me neither.
I didn't even look into the synopsis yet for Elfed, so I know absolutely nothing about what is happening with this one coming up.
Excellent. Are you reading anything outside of the podcast?
No, I still need to start Willing Prey, which we had talked about last week. I got a little bit turned around with the book that we had started to read and then changed course for this one instead. So I haven't really read anything in the past week. What about you?
For my book club with my fiance, we're reading The Deficit Myth by Stephanie Kelton, which is the kind of like the go-to book about modern monetary policy, which is interesting.
Okay.
It's like basically this idea that how our economy is currently built is not the way that it has to be, and that the government shouldn't have to balance its budget because it can always create more dollars. So it's not like a household, which could eventually run out of money because it can print the currency, which is an interesting theory, and it is not widely accepted by mainstream economists. And the book is kind of annoying. So I don't know. She references a lot of like modern media, like says with a straight face that like, as Stan Lee told us in Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility. And I'm just like, it doesn't feel like a serious assessment of government policy if you're quoting Spider-Man.
I mean, it is so funny to me, not funny, but interesting, the massively wide range of
I know.
Books that you read, even on the day-to-day.
Yeah, it's a tone shift for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because with the Smutverse, when it had said that romantasy readers are not the brightest stars, and I was like, Elle reads a lot of romantasy and she's probably one of the smartest people I know. So fuck off, whoever that lady is.
Thanks.
Well,
this was a fun one.
It was a fun one. And if you've made it this far, don't forget to like, follow, subscribe, follow us on our socials. Again, all of the links for things that we talked about today and our socials are all in our show notes. So go ahead and check all of that out. Give us a follow.
Leave a review. Even if you hate it, please put a 1-star on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen. Tell people what you think about our podcast so that, you know, it helps us either way.
Or if you hate it, give us a 5-star and leave a terrible review. That's fine too.
Yeah, that's true. That's a better idea, actually. Leave us a 5-star, but tell everybody why it's terrible.
And with that,
we are at our wit's end.
We'll see you next time.
Was that as good for you as it was for me? You have been listening to the What in the Smut podcast with Elle and Kay.
Say big now during Menards Super Savings Sale. Brighten your home with a 3-panel LED light bulb. Now just $1.99. Stay warm with a hardwood firewood bundle. Only $3.99. Stock up with Clorox All-Purpose Cleaner. Just $2.99. A 16-pack of Zest Bar Soap is only $7.99. Hurry, these great deals won't last long. Sign up for Menards emails to get the weekly flyer plus exclusive daily flash sales right to your inbox.
Save big money at Menards.